the Minnesota Superior Sound Studios. It's Wisecrackin' with Winter.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a day that ends in Y, so it's time for Wisecrackin' with Winter! How have you been out there? Have you been enjoying my shows? I hope so, because I put a lot of hard work into them.
Well, give a shit.
A lot of blood, sweat, and beers. Speaking of which, I'm drinking one right now. It's called Not Your Father's Root Beer. Ale with a taste of spice. And it's made by the Small Town Brewery out of La Crosse, Wisconsin. Now, typically, I wouldn't recommend anything from Wisconsin. Especially not the Packers, who dropped 3 in a row.
Right.
Do Vikings fans care more about the Vikings that have won 5 in a row? Or do they get more wound up about when the Packers lose?
I don't know.
It's been bandied about that when the Packers blew it against the Seahawks last year in the NFC Championship game. Hold on a second. And lost. That it was like one of the top 10 Vikings moments of all time. And if that's the truth, then that's really, really, really sad. Because then all you're doing is you're empowering the fucking evil empire over there in Green Bay. All you're doing is telling them, we have so few of our own good moments that we revel in your bad moments because you guys are just so good and we're not. 4 losses. 4 Super Bowls. 4 losses. Not this year, though. Not this year. This is the year when it all changes. We're going to stop worrying about it, about what the Packers are doing. Who gives a fuck what the Packers are doing? I'm tired of the Packers. Just let it go already. Stop worrying about them. Stop giving all the Packer fans shit every time they lose. Because you know what? It doesn't really matter. It's not that important. Like turning my phone on Do Not Disturb that I constantly forget to do. Let's worry about our own season, okay? And drink more delicious Not Your Father's Root Beer. Not a sponsor, but it's a root beer that has alcohol in it. 5.9% alcohol in a 12-ounce bottle. Not too shabby. Just had to hit pause there. My kid came barging into the Funhouse Studios, located here in beautiful Shakopee, Minnesota, asking, what the hell's wrong, Dad? I can hear you all the way upstairs screaming. Mom said to come downstairs and see what's the matter. She thought maybe you had a heart attack. You see what happens? When you give juice to the Packers and you get animated, even though I was being a little fake animated, it causes concern in your house. People worry about you. So just stop talking about the Packers. Just who cares? Let's get to a sponsor. Don't hit fast forward. I have a new one, Jesse Duncan. Jesse Duncan, a good friend of mine, an aficionado in the real estate game. And he works for Keller Williams Realty. Out of Savage, don't you know? But he can go anywhere in the metro area to help you out. Now let's face facts. You don't know fuck all about realty. You don't know how to sell your house. Your friends, in quotation marks, on Facebook don't know either. They don't. Don't just leave it to your wife to find a realtor for you. Because here's what your wife's going to do. Clip, clop, boom, sits down. Well, who to pick? Who to decide on our realtor to sell our starter home to get into our first McMansion so I can post pictures of it on Facebook and show off. I mean, share my life.
who to pick. Let's just go down my friends list, most of whom I haven't seen in over 20 years, and pick a realtor. Maybe one of my friends is a realtor now. Because we were such good friends in high school, being that we talked like maybe 3 or 4 times and sat together at lunch that one time. Yeah, they'd be a reputable choice, wouldn't they?
No!
What the hell?
They would not. I'm telling you what to do. Turn Facebook off. Step away. You need to hire Jesse Duncan of Keller Williams Realty right fucking now. Right now, hit pause on the podcast. Find Jesse Duncan on KellerWilliamsRealty.com and set up an appointment so he can get over and get that house sold for you or help you find your next dream home. He's the man. He's the guy behind the guy behind the guy. Dramatic pause. Jesse Duncan. Moving along. We got a little bit into sports. The Vikings are in first place with their big win over Oakland. A lot of people are saying that old what's-his-nuts, the Oakland quarterback, I forget his name, and I'm too lazy to look it up. He was that guy. Well, anyway, he went in the same year as Teddy in the NFL draft. And his numbers are better. He completes a lot more passes. More yards, more touchdowns, more everything. But you know what he doesn't have more of? Wins! And that's what it comes down to, ladies and gentlemen. All you long-suffering Vikings fans that are worried about stats, don't worry about the fucking stats. Take those stats and crumple them up. Here, I'm going to show you how to do it. Hold on. This is how you do it. Take the stats out of the fucking Star Tribune or whatever you read. And just crumple them up. Crumple them up. And then eat them. They don't matter. Those stats don't matter. Completions, touchdowns. All that matters is turnovers and wins. And Teddy Bridgewater rarely turns the ball over. And the Vikings are 7-2. Can I get a fucking amen? I don't care about this guy in Oakland. I won't even look them up. That's how lazy I am. I don't care because it doesn't matter. Just worry about the win-loss column and that's it. What is some big news? Where's my big news? Oh, yeah. Charlie Sheen has AIDS.
That simple old bastard. What the hell?
If you didn't know, yep. He's HIV positive. He's been HIV positive for about 4 years now. And all through those 4 years, Mr. Tiger Blood has been dipping his dick in chicks at that house of his and has not been telling him that he's sick. Uh-oh.
Duh. Winning.
He's winning, all right. What he's not going to be winning is a lot of lawsuits. The guy has slept with thousands of women. He says about 50,000, or was it 50,000? No, maybe 5,000. 5,000 women. I don't think so. I don't think Mr. Sheen's going to be winning anytime soon. I think he's going to be losing most of his fortune to a bunch of future AIDS patients if they're not already receiving treatment from the little present from Mr. Sheen's penis. What else can we get into? Ah, there was Paris. Vive la France. I love how everybody on Facebook showed their undying support by changing the background of their profile picture to a French flag. Yeah. And another thing I don't get about the Facebook and you know, with what happened in Paris, when people post things on what happened or their reposting stories from other websites that people will like it. Why would you like that? I like it! 150 die in Paris in a terrorist attack. I like it! Like! 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 Oh, and if they comment, it's almost always the same thing. Paris has my prayers. I'll be praying for Paris. No, you won't! What percent of people out there are actually praying when they say they're going to pray for somebody? I'm thinking it's around 3%. 3% at the most. I mean, there's some really devout religious people out there that I have no doubt actually do pray for people when they say they're going to, but it's only 3% on Facebook. The rest of them are busy shoving donuts in their mouth or thumbing on their little iPhone or their smartphone or whatever they have. Eating with one hand, maybe thumbing with the other thumb. What the fuck am I even talking about? But they're not taking it that seriously. They're mildly concerned. They say, you have my undying love and prayers. And then, you know what? They're flipping up to the next story. That's what's happening. They care, but they do not care enough to get down on bended knee, clasp their hands together, and actually pray to their God about your situation. It's bullshit. Another thing is, I don't understand why anybody would bother putting their real deep personal problems on Facebook. You know? People are going to do it. I just don't understand why you do. Why do you want to get that out there? Your deep personal problems. Especially like marriage issues. People will put up shit about their spouse or their boyfriend. I mean, like really personal shit. And I just don't understand why people do that. Do they do it for attention? Well, I mean, why? What are you going to get from your friends? You're going to get praying for you or a like. I like it! How many of these true friends are really going to be there for you when you need it? You know, I have friends. Real friends that have real problems. And, you know, sometimes these friends will post them on Facebook. And I never put, I'll pray for you. I'm not sure if I'm going to get around to it, to be honest, to be completely honest. I do care. I do. But I don't know if I'm going to have time to sit down and pray. I do pray. But, you know, I feel like when you're putting it there in the comments section, then you're like guaranteeing that you're going to pray. Now, I got to be thinking about after work. I got to set aside 5 minutes somewhere. I got to, you know, get this praying done, get dinner made on the table. I do all the cooking here in the Winter household. It seems like a large time commitment. I know that sounds self-centered, and but isn't it honest? So stop putting that on Facebook. If you're really going to pray for somebody, by all means, put it on there. But if you're not and you're just doing it just to do what everybody else is fucking doing and writing the exact same thing, then fucking just stop yourself. Don't do that. And don't fucking like it. I like it. God, don't like somebody else's personal fucking tragedy. Don't like it. I mean, fucking think before you hit buttons. It's like nobody fucking thinks anymore. All they do is hit buttons. Like, I'll pray for you. What's on BuzzFeed? It's just, yeah. Oh, I kind of got off track. We were talking about Paris, and that is horrible. And I did pray about it, but I didn't feel the need to put it on anybody's post or anything like that. But I did say a couple of prayers. And I'm not tooting my own horn because I don't pray that often. And if I did, I wouldn't share it with you. It's horrible. The terrorist situation is just getting out of control. It just is. I mean, how do we solve it? Paris sent a squadron of fighter jets. I think they had 20 fighter jets. I might be wrong. Over to Syria. And they bombed some ISIS installations. That was like 4 bombing runs. Now, once they did this, then all the Republicans were up in arms. Look how Paris handles its shit! Fucking terrorists attack their country! They're over there the next day! Bombing the hell out of ISIS! Where the hell is Obama? How come he's not talking kind of shit like Paris is? Now, when you think of Paris, do you think of a bunch of hard asses? I don't. You want to compare bombing missions and strikes? Obama's done about, or approved, or whatever he does, 2,500 bombing missions. Paris has done fucking four. Four. They haven't really participated in this war against terror. They've been all, no, 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 c'est la vie. Or, no, what the hell? I don't know. I can't speak French. What am I doing? But they really haven't been that involved, you know, until now. You know, it ends up on their doorstep. Now they're all about helping out. Well, we've been over there for years in this shit. Walking a click in this shit. We've got that marine, you know, 20-yard glare, you know. We've been over there a fucking while already. Well, it's good to have them in the fight. And it's terrible what happened in Paris. It really is. It's awful. The other big thing politically going on here in America, if you're listening to this out of country, I realize that there are people in Ireland that listen, and Germany, and Russia, and Australia, and thanks for listening and taking time out. If you find the show even mildly fascinating or entertaining or funny or whatever, send me an email, because I don't ever get any. I can't say that. I've gotten a few. But I'd like to get more. I'd like to get some listener mail that needs my advice on something. One, it helps fill time on the podcast. It's not that easy to just sit down and crack the microphone open and just start rambling for 20 minutes. And it's not always, I can't always just get a guest at the drop of a hat. I'm doing this show solo. Big G wasn't having it tonight.
No.
Nope, too many good shows on TV. He basically hung the phone up on me. You know, I've got other friends, but you know, it's a time commitment. It's about a half hour out of their busy lives of talking to me. You know, it's not easy. Send me some content. Ask for advice about something. Say you're having problems with your girlfriend or your wife or your job or your fucking car. Or you hate the Vikings, you hate the Packers, whatever. Send me an email over to Wisecracken. That's Wisecracken, not cracking. Wisecracken with Winter at yahoo.com. That's Wisecracken with Winter at yahoo.com. I'll read your emails. I'll cherish your emails. I'll kiss them. I just want to get some kind of feedback. Okay, so I did that. We were talking about the Republicans. Now, they're scared. I think it was like, I always say I think it was like, it's not that fucking hard to pick up my phone and just look up the article and have the information ready when I start this podcast. But I like to go on the fly. I like to go by the seat of my fucking pants around here. So I'm going to call it 11, 12 Republican governors out there. Don't want to let Syrian refugees into their state because they're worried about terrorist attacks. Let me tell you something, Republican governors. They're probably already fucking here. To tell you the truth, they're probably already here. There's probably sleeper cells all up and down this motherfucking country. Up and down it. Just planning away, saving their fucking money from working at the car wash or wherever terrorists work, saving up their money and putting together some kind of fucking diabolical scheme to blow up Americans. They're probably already here. I think most of these people coming to the country are from, you know, are women and children running from war. Some of these Republican governors have suggested that we give them a religious test. Oh, it was Jeb Bush. There's a proud family name. Bush. That's quality when you're talking about governing. When you're talking about governing, you're talking about Bush. He wants to give them a test to make sure they're Christians. Well, I don't think so. That's not how it works here in the good old U.S. of A., Jeb. Bring me your poor. Bring me your tired. Bring me your sexually deprived. Bring them all in. We don't give religion tests. It's in the Constitution. Freedom of religion. More Muslims? Happy to have them. Bring them all in. What causes problems, in my opinion, is when you don't fucking let them in because of their religion, or you persecute them because of their particular religion. That's what causes problems. That's what makes ISIL, ISIS, however, can we pick a fucking pronunciation? I'm going to go with ISIS. Sorry, Obama. That's what makes ISIS fucking angry. That's what gives them juice. When they see us treating these Muslims like shit, you know? Doesn't do any good. So let them in, for God's sakes. We're America. Oh, I was going to do a show on politics, but the guy that I was supposed to have on, Paul Lambie, is busy at a Machine Head concert. So I'll just kind of tread into this, like maybe wading pool depth. Not going to go all the way up to my neck like I would with Paul. Just going to go up to my fucking knees here. I think Donald Trump is still leading the Republican candidates. I think he's at 43%. So Trump's winning. You got Ben Carson in second place. That guy is a fucking snooze fest. Have you listened to any of these Republican fucking debates? Well, have you? Well, maybe you could turn off the fucking NASCAR for 1 minute and watch one of these goddamn things. It is pretty entertaining when Trump is talking. Trump is interesting. I'll give him that. I hope he gets the nod from the Republicans, and they put him on the ticket. It would be fun to watch him versus Hillary Clinton, because the other guy that she's running against doesn't really have a chance. What are some of the other Republican guys? Jeb Bush, I just got done talking about that fucking retard. He has no chance. Ben Carson is a snooze fest. Chris Christie is too fat. And Ted Cruz, I've never even fucking heard of. I mean, who cares? It's gonna be Trump. It's gonna be Trump versus Clinton in a battle royale. Not sure who's. Hillary's probably gonna end up winning it. Tell you the truth. Sorry, Republicans. Republicans had a good opportunity to take back the White House, and they just can't come up with a fucking decent candidate. They got a sideshow in Trump, and that's about it. No good, interesting candidates whatsoever. I'm on my second beer now. I'm opening up a Miller Lite now. It's in these new short squat brown bottles. What are they called? The name isn't on it. We'll just call it short squat brown bottle. Yeah, interesting. Same beer, different bottle. Pretty good stuff. We gotta be getting near the end here. What else? Oh, I thought I'd talk about some of my favorite shows and why I like them and why you should be watching them. Fargo has got to be number one. Best television since Breaking Bad, in my opinion. You got a new story every year. You got compelling characters. It's set in Minnesota, which is interesting for us Minnesotans. And it gives you people that don't live in flyover country an interesting peek into how we live and talk and work and murder people. Give Fargo a try. It's a great story this year. It's set in 1979 in Laverne, Minnesota. It's very interesting. It's good. Close second is The Walking Dead. Probably the best. They're probably having the best year so far they've had since like season two. Really compelling television, edge of your seat stuff. Give it a look. I don't miss an episode. No idea how it's going to turn out. There are a couple podcasts on it. If you're really into The Walking Dead and you're into podcasting, which I am, which I hope you are too, check out some of The Walking Dead podcasts. They're good. Another good show is called The Leftovers. That's on HBO. That's about the rapture, basically. Is it about the rapture, really? I mean, they don't really explain, but 3 billion people disappear off the face of the earth. Is it 3 billion? I don't even know how many people live on the earth. Let's just call it 3 million people disappear immediately. Like they're raptured. They're just gone. And the show is about, well, what about the people that are left? How do they get on with their lives? How do they handle 3 million people just disappearing? Then you got a personal favorite of mine. Well, they're all favorites. It's Ash versus The Walking Dead. What the fuck? What am I writing here? It's Ash versus The Evil Dead! God. Ash versus the Evil Dead. It's on Stars.
Well, I don't even know who the fuck it is.
It's a spinoff of the Evil Dead movies. They made three Evil Dead movies, main character being Ash. Great movies, a lot of fun. Highly recommend them. Two thumbs up. And now they did a TV show every week about it. What happens after the last Evil Dead movie? Premiered on Halloween. It's been really fun so far. But the only thing I don't like about it is that there are too many CGI special effects. You know, it's not like the old school where they used like fake blood and dummies and that type of thing. Now it's all computers and shit. I don't really like that. But the storyline is cool. I suggest you give that a try. Homeland on Showtime. Always a home run if you're into CIA espionage fare. I've enjoyed the show for years. I find that compelling television. About one more? I'm a TV junkie, can you tell? I watch way too much TV. Gold Rush on Discovery. Another favorite of mine. Why now? You say, why, Mike? Why would you sit there and watch guys dig around in the dirt in Alaska for gold? Why is that compelling television? Why is that even mildly interesting? You're not into construction. You don't know how to operate a bobcat or a backhoe. No, I don't. I don't want to operate any of those things. But I don't know. It's a couple different groups of guys that they follow around. One group is from Utah or Oregon, I believe. Todd and his dad and these other dudes. I forget their last names because I don't take any notes. I don't prep at all. But they hunt around for gold, and there's like this kid. He's 21 years old. His name is Parker, and he's from Alaska, and got his start gold mining with his grandfather on his grandfather's land. Kind of learned the trade. Kind of set out on his own now, and he's making tons of money, and he has problems. And there's like a third dude. He's this old Viking fucker named Tony Beats. And he's a crabby shit. And he went out and he bought a gold dredge. Do you know what a gold dredge is? I didn't either until this year. It's like this boat. And I'm not going to get into boats. Trust me, I'm not going to start telling more of my own fucking personal boat stories. But he has this boat and it like digs dirt. And it goes into like this spinning thing and you get gold and... Look up a gold dredge. I'm not good at describing what these things are. But look up a gold dredge. He has one of those. And it's always breaking down, so that's interesting too. A couple other things to mention. If you're looking for a DJ company, look no further than Minnesota Superior Sound, located here in Minnesota. You can find them on the internet at minnesotasuperiorsound.com. Now, it can be kind of tough if you have an Apple. Because the website has Flash, and I'm sorry, and I'm working on getting that resolved. You can also head over to Facebook and look at their like page. It's Minnesota Superior Sound on Facebook. Give them a like. Look at the pictures. They're the best wedding DJs in the biz. One last sponsor. Burnsville Towing, located in Savage, Minnesota. Burnsville Towing can handle all of your automotive needs. Do you got a faulty fucking spark plug? Do you got a leaky tire? Do you not know how to change your own oil like a real man? I bet you fucking don't. Head over to Burnsville Towing in Savage, Minnesota. Look them up. They're on the internet. Or head on over to the show notes where Mitch will conveniently provide you with a link if you can't figure out how to do it. And that's it. That's it for this week. The upcoming shows, I plan on having my lawyer buddy back in here again, Richie Barrister. Plans on making an appearance. I also have a real stand-up comedian that I'm trying to get in. More to come on that later. And one final note. The police have had a lot of bad press lately. Let's be honest. It's not been a good year for law enforcement and the PR department. I live in Shakopee, and I've had nothing but good things, good reports about the Shakopee Police Department. So I'm going to try to help them out a little bit here and mention some things that they're up to. If you live here in the community, if you live in Shakopee and you happen to listen to the podcast, they're on Twitter. Twitter! I got my Boston accent back. See, you drink a Miller Lite, you get it back. Twitter. Anyway, they're on Twitter. And they're having a contest with the Eau Claire Police Department regarding the Vikings and Packers, that border battle coming up this Sunday. So if you're into that, if you're into Twitter, get wisecracking is my handle. Look up the Shakopee Police Department and check out their tweets with the Eau Claire Police Department. Go Vikings. And that's that. It's a fucking wrap. I'm burnt out. 32 minutes on my own. Not too bad for a 41-year-old guy. Hey, thanks for listening. I really do appreciate it. Have yourself a great whatever, and I'll hope to hear from you in the old email box soon.
Hi, I'm Mitch Helgerud, executive producer of Wisecracking with Winter. On behalf of Mike and myself, I want to thank you for listening and subscribing. For all the Apple users out there, you already have the podcast app, so subscribing is easy. But for the Android people out there, it's a little more involved. So go to getwisecracking.com and click on the link to subscribe to the podcast.